welcome back to another episode of the Christian Apologist Podcast. I am your host, Richard Long. So glad you could join us today, whether you're watching us on YouTube, watching us on one of your favorite podcast channels, or just listening to us. We are so glad you joined us. We thank you for your support. We thank you for listening. Whether it helps you or not, we just thank you for engaging with us, listening, commenting, and just being with us every Monday or every time that we put out a podcast or a YouTube video. We truly, truly do appreciate the support, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We really do. Today is actually some pretty exciting times. I found out that my book, I actually got my 10 copies, my 10 free copies, I guess you could say, and today of my book, Stand for God, Will the Defendant Please Rise? Evidence for God's Existence. I got those in. It should be available hopefully within the next week or two, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and iTunes and pretty much our website, a lot of different places where you can be able to buy the book. And then after that, then the digital ebook will come out to those same channels as well. But right now, first it comes out with the paperback, and then it comes out with the actual ebook process. And on our website, I don't know if you've been to our website lately, thechristianapologist.net, but our store says coming soon, and it's been saying that for quite some time because we've been trying to work out a way that we can order like custom-made t-shirts, tumblers, hats, you name it. I'm hoping that we'll kind of have a room, a place for it, but we're this close, hopefully within the next week or two, of being able to put stuff out there on the store so people can purchase. And we're truly grateful for that. God has been good. Amen. And all the proceeds, I just want to make this very clear, all the proceeds go to feed needy children. Okay? My needy children. That's who it goes to feed. All right? Let's just be honest. That's where it's going. I got kids. They hungry. Yeah, they're all grown, but I got grandkids that need things. So trust me, it goes towards kids. With that aside, my wife is actually opening up a website soon. It's going to be called Spotitz, SPOTITZ.com. She's going to be selling anything from apparel to fragrances to beauty to skin products. You name it, electronics. It's going to be selling a lot of things. And so we're really hoping that that takes off and does very, very well. You know, the other day I got a few comments, and they're very good questions. And most of the time it's atheists that ask us, but I, as a Christian, have asked these things as well. So I don't know if some of you that are Christians or watching this have asked this, but I know I sure have. So my question was, is it's always been, how can people all around the world who have never even heard of Jesus of Nazareth, can they be saved? Can they be saved if they've never even heard of Jesus of Nazareth? And if not, I mean, that's kind of seems unfair, honestly. I mean, if you really think about it, it kind of seems unfair that God would sit there and, you know, punish someone. And I'm not saying, I don't know if the word punish is the right word, but, you know, put himself away from them for eternity because they never even heard of Jesus of Nazareth. So, for a long time, I didn't know how to answer that until I got into apologetics. And so we're just going to look into some of those answers real quick. And, see what we come up with. And so here's my first thoughts is God is the standard of justice. He's the standard of goodness. Okay. So we have to remember that and know that whatever God does isn't going to be unjust. It isn't going to be good, ungood. It's not going to be bad. It's not going to be evil. So he's the God of justice, and he's the standard of that justice. So whatever he does do, we have to know that it's for good. Okay, now, yes, that you're going to have to take in faith because that's just what the Bible tells us. But you know, from a morality perspective and everything else, we know that there has to be a standard above ourselves than all righteous goodness, which is the nature of God for Christians and for everybody, but y'all can deny it all day long. It ain't going to hurt God one way or the other. God is a perfect being. So to get started, let me say you that. So when we ask this question about people nowadays being saved without hearing of Jesus, then what about all the people from the Old Testament? What about Adam and Abraham and Noah and Joseph and Daniel and all these people, Job? You know, how did they get saved when they didn't know the name of Jesus as well? See, they didn't know the name of Jesus. So there's a couple of ways to look at this, honestly. Is one, like I believe it was Moses who said that it was accredited to him because he had belief in Yahweh. He had belief in God. And so it was his faith in God and knowing that there was a coming Messiah, because even Jesus said that all the past prophets knew of the Messiah. They knew that there was one coming. They just didn't know his name. So, but they put their faith in Yahweh and knew that there was a time that the Messiah was going to come and redeem everybody. So their faith in Yahweh and the coming Messiah could have been the way they were saved without actually hearing the name of Jesus. That's a possibility. I'm not saying that is it. I'm saying it's a possibility. Another way is God is outside the realm of time. We say it all the time that he's timeless. He's not in time. He's outside of time. And so if he's outside of time and before he created the universe, he knew the beginning to the end. He knew how everything was going to play out. Then possibly when Jesus did come to earth over 2,000 years ago and was crucified and rose to life, his blood shed, since God's outside the realm of time, it covers over the span of time. Maybe it just covers over the span of time. That's a possibility. Okay? And so those are two of my biggest things that I say. But we're actually going to look into a little bit of scripture here too, because we're going to talk about more modern times, about people that are like in far off tribes that have never heard of Jesus or, you know, wherever they might be. But in Acts 17, 26, 27, it says, I'm going to read this to you from the Bible. It says, from one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. So God, he appointed a place and a time for each and every single one of us to be born, and he did that for a purpose. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't just random. It wasn't like he was, you know, doing a lottery and rolling the little machine and it popping up numbers, or he was reaching into a hat or a fish bowl and grabbing a number saying, you know, or a name saying, you know, hey, this one's the guy that's come, and oh, let me pull out of another fish bowl, and hey, this is where he's going to live, and this is where he's going to stay. He's going to stay in this little territory. No, God pre-made this. He knew when he was going to put these people out there, and he knew where they would be. Okay, now why would he do that? Why would God want that much control over where he put people and when they would be? Well, if we go into verse 27, he says, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. We're going to stop right there. There's more to it, but we're going to stop right there. So the reason God put everybody where they were at and when they were at is because that was the best place and the best time for these people to be to seek him. God knows each and every one of us before we were created, before we were in our mother's wombs. He knew us. The Bible tells us this. So he knew where to place us and where to put us, which would be the best place he could possibly put us for them to seek him and to find him. Now let's keep reading. There's only a little bit more. And he says, though he is not far from any one of us. So God's not far from any one of us. So even these people from far off tribes that maybe they have never even heard of Jesus, they can look around. The Bible says that the sky, the universe, the stars, they are God's glory. And that when you look at them, you see God's glory. So it doesn't matter where they are. They can seek him because they have to know deep down that this wasn't an accident. This wasn't, you know, by mistake, that they know. And God put them there at this time. Now, here's one of the hardest pills to swallow. And a lot of people don't like my third option, but it's just, it's a possibility. And so that's what I'm giving here. I'm giving you three different possibilities of how people can be saved without actually hearing the word of Jesus, actually hearing the name of Jesus. Another possibility is God knows each and every one of us. So he knows us through and through. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen. I almost sound like I was a preacher for a second, huh? But he knows each and every one of us. So he knows that no matter what, and I'm just going to say, pick a name, Billy, okay? Man, this desk is really dusty. Okay, anyways, I got ADHD. So he knows each and every one of us through and through, okay? And he knows, let's say Billy, he knows if he put Billy in an evangelical Christian town in the United States, or if he put Billy in Iraq and full of Islam or Christianity or Muslims, or if he knew if he put Billy in a far-off tribe in Africa where nobody even knows these people exist, God knows all those possibilities at one time, and he knows if Billy would accept him or not, okay? So if he knew Billy wasn't going to accept him, no matter where he placed him, then why not put Billy? I'm just saying, for instance, these are just instances, so don't take it to heart, all you atheist fans, all you agnostics. Don't take this to heart. I'm not saying this is exactly what happened. I'm giving you possibilities. But what would make God be like evil or bad or immoral for sticking Billy in a place like Africa in a far-off tribe, where that way, let's just say, for instance, Billy couldn't rub off on other people because he knew no matter what he did, Billy was not going to seek him out. It's a possibility. And that's what we have to go off of. We have to go off of possibilities. Now, some things we do have as facts, some things we have as evidence, and then we have possibilities. And if it's possible, then that means it's not improbable. So, I mean, those are my three things on how people can get saved without hearing the name of, or two things of hearing the name of Jesus and everything else. But really when it boils down to it, the question itself, when someone asks me, how does someone save that they never hear the name of Jesus? Really, what they're trying to get at is that God's immoral, that God would be unjust. It's a morality question. Whether it's coming from an atheist or whether it's coming from a Christian, it is a morality question because you're saying that God is just unjust or immoral for sending someone to hell, which, by the way, God really, truly, if you think about it, doesn't send anybody to hell. Our sins are what send us to hell. It's our sins that do it. God just doesn't go into hell. It's separation. That's what hell is. It's separation from God. God is saying, you know what? You don't want me. You've objected me. You don't need me in your life. Then I will leave your life. And he's up here in heaven, and down in hell is without God. That's all hell is. I'm not saying that's not a horrible place, because it's absolutely horrible. I mean, look at all the stuff going on now. I mean, heaven forbid, the Uvalde, Texas incident. You know, that's plumb evil. And that's the kind of evil, but probably 10 times worse, that's going to be in hell. It's just evil. There's no goodness. Like right now, it doesn't matter if you're an atheist or a Christian or a Muslim, or it doesn't matter what religion you are. We all get to experience some of God's grace. God's grace is kind of like a rain cloud. It, or just a shower that goes over the whole earth right now. And how's that? Well, because everybody can experience love and kindness and joy and happiness and friendship. Those are the things that are under God's grace. Hell is going to be none of that. You're not going to have any of that. There's no grace. There's no goodness. There's no morality because God's presence will not be there. But anyways, back on topic. That is why I think that, you know, necessarily, like, I think, you know, like how he said to Abraham that it would be accredited to him. Let's say there is a far-off tribe, and somebody believes that there is God. He might not even know his name, Yahweh, but he knows there is a God, and there's a God that created this, and there's a God that created me, and there's a God that put these morals, and they might not even use the word morals, but they put these morals in our hearts, like the Bible says, to know right from wrong. And I believe it will be accredited to them. Because if it was accredited to Moses, then why wouldn't it be accredited to these? God is a God of justice. God wants people saved way more than we do. Okay, he wants people saved way more than we do. So I promise you, he's done all he can do to get people the gospel, to get people to seek him. But he can't force people to seek him because then that's going against free will. We talk about that all the time. So he can't force people to seek him. But he can put things out there so that people would ask questions and seek him and seek answers and hopefully discover Yahweh, God, and Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I'm a firm believer. And in the Bible, it talks about this as well, is that the more that's given to you, the more that is expected from you. So, and this is my opinion, people in the United States, whether it don't look like it sometimes, but we are the largest Christian nation in the world. We still are to this day, even with all the evils going on in the United States, we are still the largest Christian nation in the world. And so I feel really bad for people all over the world, but especially the United States, that don't seek Christ. And the reason being is because you were put in a place and an opportunity, and Christ is abound in the United States, and you choose not to seek him. You choose not to believe in him. And you can sit there and say all day long, oh, well, the evidence, it's the evidence. The evidence doesn't show. You know what? The evidence doesn't show atheism. Okay, none of us have the burden of proof. You got to use a little bit of common sense to sit there and know that we didn't come from colliding stardust into, you know, an amoeba and then into fish and into a cell and to, you know, on down the line until you got to humans. When it's been proven over and over and over that it's impossible, that the sun would literally have burned up and collapsed and became and destroyed the world, the entire world, before that would even have happened. So even if evolution, if humankind came through evolution from that perspective, then God had to have intervened to make the process speed up faster for us to be here today in the sun, still be shining. So either way, you're going to get back to God. So I don't want to hear anything about how the evidence isn't strong enough, because it's not the evidence. It's the look of, just for one, common sense, and then using a deduction, reasonable deduction from evidence to get to either we got here by mistaken chance or we got here by a creator. And if you look at all the details, you can't tell me. I mean, even the Royal Society in the UK, which is huge for evolution, had to go back, I think it was like in 2016, and had to reinvene about evolution because they're like, you know what? This ain't working no more. This ain't working out. The further they get, and that's the best part about this, is that the further atheists and scientists get into trying to, you know, basically prove evolution or whatever they're trying to prove at that time, they're just helping the defense for God, because the further they go back, they're realizing there's irreducible complexes that cannot be evolved over gradual time. Some of these things have to come together all at once. So, yes, I do feel sorry for all atheists and agnostics, and for anyone who doesn't believe that Jesus came, died, and rose to life for yours and my sins. He's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the great I am. I feel sorry for those that live in the United States and don't believe that, because great has been given to you and great is expected from you. So there's no excuse. But anywho, that is why I believe that even though it's a moral question about if people who don't believe or don't hear the name of Jesus, will they make it into heaven? I gave you my two. One is they could be, because they could just believe in Yahweh himself and know that Yahweh exists and it's credited to them through their faith. Two, Christ's blood could be retroactive all the way through the time continuum, because God lives outside of time, so it covered everything. And three, for those that aren't saved, how do you know that they would have believed even if they were, let's say, in the United States in an evangelical town? I mean, there's a lot of people that live in the United States, and that's what cracks me up when I always hear, sorry, I was going to let y'all go, but it always cracks me up when I hear people saying, oh, well, if you were born in Iraq, you would be a Muslim. If you were born here, if you were born in India, you would be Buddha, you know, a Buddhist. And I'm like, that's not necessarily true, people. People are born in the United States all the time, and guess what? Not everybody's a Christian. And the Christians are predominantly religion in the United States. So don't sit there and tell me it depends on where you're born and where you're born and the time you're born that will determine if you follow Jesus or not. That is not true. There are many agnostics. There are many atheists. There are many Jehovah's Witnesses. There's many Mormons. There's many Muslims. There's many Buddhists. There's many Hindus. All different types of Satanists that live and were born in the United States. That is not the case. God determined when and where each and every one of us would be born. So don't sit there and give me that excuse of, oh, well, if I was born in Iraq, I'd be a Muslim. You can't say that. Now, you can sit there and say, well, the studies show that the majority of the people that live here, okay, but you can't take aggregate data and apply it to an individual. Now, what do I mean by that? The simplest way to put it is, if I say in a town of 2,000 people, the median income is $100,000. I can't take that aggregate data and go to one person in that town and say, I know you make at least $100,000 a year. You can't do that. That person might only make 70. They might only make 50. They might only make 25. We don't know, because you can't take aggregate data and apply it to individuality. You just can't. So you can't take aggregate data saying, oh, if you were born here, then the chances are you will most likely be, okay, but you can't take that aggregate data and apply it to an individual. There are many Christians born in Iraq. In fact, there's been a huge turnaround here lately for Muslims giving up the Muslim faith and giving up Allah and crossing over into Yahweh, into Jesus. And they weren't raised and they weren't born in those circumstances. But God knew that that's where they needed to be converted. Just like he knows where every one of us needs to be born to find Jesus, to seek Yahweh. Now, just because we choose not to seek him, you can't blame God for that. That's ridiculous. That's like saying I own a ranch and it's somewhere in my house, but I'm not going to look for it. So therefore, it doesn't exist. No, it's here. I just got to go find it. Especially, guys, you know what I'm talking about, that little 10 millimeter socket. We know it exists. We can just never find it. And if you're any kind of a mechanic, you'll know what I'm talking about. You can never find that 10 millimeter. Doesn't mean it exists. It doesn't exist. It just means we can't find it. We're not seeking it. We're not seeking hard enough for it. That or got lost or stolen. One of the two. But you get my point. So be looking up from a book. I will be posting a video as soon as it does come out in paper book and paperback. And when it comes out in ebooks, and be looking for my wife's website. It's called Spot It. Go to our website, thechristianapologist.net, and leave comments. Give us a rating, listen to our podcast, subscribe, follow. We're on Linktree now, so that just makes it a whole lot easier than having to list every single, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, True Social, YouTube, yada, yada, yada. It's just so much easier just to do Linktree, and then you can go there and pick whichever one you want to go to. So, with all that being said, you all have a blessed week, and God bless.